Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
Hypocrisy always hinders holiness. That's why you don't want to be a hypocrite. Because hypocrisy always hinders the pursuit of holiness. This path will lead you further and further and further away from the holiness that God has created you for. So make sure your motives are pure. Follow God with a pure heart. Don't worry if you're here at church and you feel like the fat guy showing up to the gym for the first time. That's okay. That's what church is for.
We were designed in the image of God to represent Him and thus pursue holiness in our lives. In today's teaching, Pastor Pete will speak against the pattern of hypocrisy that too often finds itself in Christian circles. Not only does hypocrisy cloud our witness to others, but it also hinders our own holiness. If you desire to be a faithful follower of Jesus, then every area of your life must be surrendered to Him at all times, even when no one is watching. What do you need to devote to Him today? If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Proverbs chapter 7 as he begins part one of his message, Determinative Direction Continued.
We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 7 today. If you've got your Bibles, open there with me. And as you're turning there, let me ask you a dangerous question. Y'all ready for a dangerous question? How many of y'all were alive in 1951? If you were around in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, or even the 80s when I was growing up, you probably have seen this movie. Anybody ever seen Alice in Wonderland? The animated version, it was done in 1951. I didn't realize it was done in 1951 for the first time, an animated version. But Alice in Wonderland, I grew up in a house of four boys. As you can imagine, we watched Alice in Wonderland every week. Like, it was our thing. No, I'm kidding. We didn't watch it a lot. I've seen the film, but it's not one of our favorites in our house. But in the film, there's this scene where Alice comes to this big tree. And there's big trees in the middle of the road, and surrounding the tree are all of these different other roads, these paths, if you will. And Alice, she can't decide. She doesn't know which path to take. She doesn't know what road she wants to go on. You know the scene I'm talking about? It's a pretty monumental scene in the film. It's a pretty easy one to remember. And then this creepy cat shows up. Y'all remember that creepy purple cat? And she starts talking to the cat, and the cat starts talking back to her, which, you know, doesn't make any sense at all. We all know cats can't talk. We all know cats are dumb. But there's this creepy cat in this film, Alice in Wonderland. And this creepy cat says to Alice, because she wants to know which way to go, and he says, well, that all depends on where you want to end up. It all depends on where you want to go, Alice. See, the cat understood that your direction determines your destination. So if Alice knew where she wanted to go, the cat was saying, I can help you pick the right path if you can tell me where you want to end up, what destination you want to get to. And Alice, she just looks at this creepy cat, and she says this. She says, well, I don't know where I want to go. And to that, the cat responds and he says, well, then it really doesn't matter which way you go, does it? Because if you don't care where your destination is, you can get on any path you want. It doesn't matter what path you take if you don't have a destination in mind. If you don't have any destination that you want to get to, then take any path you want to get to. It's going to take you somewhere, but with no destination in mind, who cares what path you take? And the cat's right, isn't he? Now, this is a dangerous way to approach life. There are people out there who approach life this way. They just say, well, I'm just going to walk a path. I'm going to get on these paths. I'm just going to see where they take me. I don't have a destination in mind. They're like Alice in Wonderland, walking through looking for the path or direction they want to take, and they just take the one that looks pretty, or take the one that looks easy, or they take the one that looks the most exciting or the most adventurous. They take the one that the most other people are going down, because surely if everybody else is going down, then it must be the right path, right? And you know, if you don't know what your destination is, then it doesn't really matter what direction you go. Your direction determines your destination. You don't just end up at a destination. You get to a destination by taking a path, taking a road. The path you choose matters. There are a few people out there that live their lives like Alice. But there's a much bigger group of people who, in my opinion, live in an even more tragic state. They're the people that have a destination in mind. They have a destination that they want to get to. They have a goal or a plan. They have hopes. They have dreams. They have an idea of where they want to end up, but they continually choose paths that don't go to those destinations. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's talk about some spiritual examples. After all, we're at church. It'd be a good idea, right? There are a lot of people out there who say they want to honor God. They say they want to honor God with who they are, with their gifts and their talents and their time. They say they want to honor God, and they want to spend the rest of eternity with God in heaven. But they consistently choose paths that honor themselves. They consistently choose paths that lead them in a direction where they are forced to refuse to repent and to make Jesus the Lord of their life, because they're still the Lord of their life. They say they love God. They say they want to honor God. They say they believe in God. They say they want to go to heaven, but they don't read God's word. They never spend any time in the Bible. They rarely attend church with God's people. They don't join small groups or Bible studies. They don't spend time praying. They look forward to Saturday night way more than they do Sunday morning. They pick a path that takes them opposite the direction of their destination that they say they want to get to. There are many people, golly, I run into so many people, and I see it all over social media all the time. There's so many people out there who say, I want to be financially stable. I want to get to a place in my life where I don't have to worry about money. It's not a stress for me anymore. I want to be able to retire one day. I want to be able to leave an inheritance for my kids and my grandchildren. I want to get to a place in my life where I don't have to work anymore. And yet, I mean, they know the destination they want to get to. They really want to get to that destination, but they pick paths that are littered with consumer debt. They never discipline themselves to live within their means. They make decisions based on what feels good today. They'll say, I want to be financially stable and I want to be able to retire and I want to get to this destination. But then they drive by that car lot and they see that truck that they've always wanted. And they just got a new truck 18 months ago, but this one has a tailgate with hydraulic lift things on it that make the tailgate go down slower so it doesn't just drop. And so they whip in there and they come up with some kind of fangled justification in their mind so they can buy this new truck. Relationally, man, this one breaks my heart. Relationally, I meet young people all the time who will tell me that they want to find and they want to marry a great Christian spouse. Isn't that a great thing? Amen. Like, this is the destination I want to get to. I want to have a husband or a wife that's like-minded, that reads the word, that goes to church, that leads our family. Somebody that's going to be a great Christian spouse. They have this goal in mind. This is the destination they want to get to. But then they date non-believers. It makes no sense to me. And they claim they want this destination, But they take a path that's not going to get them there. And I know you can't do anything for them, and I know you can't do anything about it, but man, it breaks my heart. Because we celebrate them and we rejoice with them, and we should be broken over it. They say they want to live pure lives, but then they move in with each other to save a couple bucks on rent. They date these people that literally have zero signs. I mean, maybe they're believers and they say they came to know the Lord at camp and they were baptized and their parents went to church and you're like, whoa, it's better than the last one. But there's literally no signs of spiritual fruit in their lives. And then these people that had this destination in mind, they're shocked and surprised when they wake up 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years later down the road and they've gotten married to this person and they've now arrived at the unpleasant destination that path was leading them to the whole time. Well, we could talk about physically. It's no different. We all say we want to live to be 120, but we smoke cigarettes, we drink alcohol, we guzzle loads of soda and sugar, we eat fake, highly toxic processed food. We sit on the couch watching TV when we should be up taking a walk. See, this is what I'm getting at. Every decision, every choice you make in life is more than just a decision or a choice. It's a path that is going to take you to a destination. Your direction determines your destination. Last, we started looking at this tragic story in Proverbs chapter 7, and we saw this young man. And he took these three paths, these three directions that we knew were going to lead to a bad destination. We don't have time to review them all today, but it was the path of arrogance, the path of darkness, and the path of easy, or the path of ease. Today we're going to pick up in verse 13 with the path of hypocrisy, a path he chose to walk, and a path that wasn't going to lead him to a good place. The path of hypocrisy, point number one for you today. Now, if there's one thing we all know to be true, if there's one thing we all know is absolutely positive about church, it's this: it's full of hypocrites, right? How many of y'all have ever heard that? Church is full of hypocrites. Well, I'm still glad y'all are showing up with me. Of course we've heard it. Many will tell you that the church is full of hypocrites. It's probably the number one thing people like to cite when they quit going to a church. I don't go there anymore. It's full of hypocrites. Everyone there, and apparently everyone at every church, is a hypocrite because they don't go to any churches. They do church at home by themselves. The only place they can't find a hypocrite. Now, of course, this is absolutely absurd. It's absolutely false. What it really is it's people who need an excuse to stop going to church, and so they find the most frequently used excuse that they've always heard. It makes no sense, but they use it. Others who use this excuse are just opposed to the gospel and the work of God and the kingdom of God, and so they use the same excuse because, again, it's just so frequently used. But the reality is the standard applied to that argument of hypocrisy and hypocrites being in the church isn't used any other place in society or culture because it makes no sense. Let me give you just one example for the sake of time. How many of you have ever gone to the gym to exercise? I haven't been in a while. Probably easy to notice that. But I've been to the gym. I've had a gym membership. I've shown up there. And you know what I've noticed? When I've walked in, and I've been to multiple gyms in multiple cities at multiple times in my life, you walk into a gym and you know what? There's a lot of fat people in there. Just a bunch of them. In fact, the majority of them are extremely fat. They're overweight. They're out of shape. Those hypocrites showing up to a gym to work out. That's why I don't go to the gym anymore. Because everybody there is a bunch of hypocrites. Or maybe, just maybe, they're people who are actually putting in the effort to get better, to be better, to have a better quality of life. In the same way, most people who come to church are trying to get better, amen? They're trying to be better. They're trying to serve better. They're trying to love God and people better. We're not perfect. We've never claimed to be perfect. I've never claimed to be perfect. But the fact that we're at church and we're not perfect does not make us a hypocrite. You see, it's not what you do that makes you a hypocrite. It's the intentions behind the actions that make you a hypocrite. It's the condition of your heart and the motivation behind your heart and your actions that make you a hypocrite. Look with me here in verse 13 where we left off last week in our story, Proverbs chapter 7. She brazenly says to him, "I've made fellowship offerings today. I fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you, to search for you, and I found you. I've spread coverings on my bed, richly colored linen from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon." Now here we find a direction in the path of true hypocrisy. This woman went to church that morning. And this evening, she's attempting to seduce this young, naive, inexperienced, arrogant young man into her bed. Look at verse 14. "I've made fellowship offerings today. I fulfilled my vows," she says. In other words, I've checked all the boxes. I went to church. I made my offerings. I fulfilled my spiritual obligations and duties. I've made my vows to God. And now I'm here looking for you, big boy. You see her motives? Her motives at the altar that morning were not right. And her motives here tonight in the street are jacked up too. See, this right here is not an overweight person at the gym trying to get better. This is an overweight person at the gym sipping on a 44-ounce milkshake while they're staring at the girl across the gym running on the treadmill. There's a difference between the two. I'll tell you this, you can fool me and you can fool your mama and you can fool your boss and you can fool your spouse. You might be able to fool your children, but you can't fool God. And you can't fool Jesus and you can't fool the Holy Spirit. And they have no problem at all. They see with 20/20 vision, hypocrites. They have no problem seeing them, and they have no problem pointing them out. And you don't want to be one. Listen to what Jesus said to a group of them in Matthew 23:23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, and yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. Blind guides," he calls them. "You strain out a gnat, but gulp down a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," he calls them again. "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," for a third time. "You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of the bones of the dead and every kind of impurity. In the same way, on the outside, you seem righteous to people, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Don't walk down the path of hypocrisy. It will not lead you to a destination you want to go. Can I sum up the main problem with this path, the path of hypocrisy, for you? It's this: hypocrisy always hinders holiness. That's why you don't want to be a hypocrite, because hypocrisy always hinders the pursuit of holiness. This path will lead you further and further and further away from the holiness that God has created you for. So make sure your motives are pure. Follow God with a pure heart. Don't worry if you're here at church and you feel like the fat guy showing up to the gym for the first time. That's okay. That's what church is for. But get busy. Get better. And don't let anybody else here judge you or make you feel like you're being judged. They were fat and out of shape when they showed up here the first time too. We're glad you're here. It's a good thing you're here. You're in the right place. And if you stay here long enough, and if you work at it long enough, and if you dedicate it and discipline to the Lord, and you allow Him to do a work in your life, one day you won't be the fat guy at the gym anymore. You'll be that just jacked up, pumped up guy. You know, maybe not physically, but spiritually. That everybody else will look at and go, wow, I want to be like him. But you can't ever get there if you follow the path of hypocrisy. Next, point number two, the path of disassociation. The path of disassociation, it's a path this young man takes. This path, like many others, takes you to places you don't want to go. It's a path that in particular tends to lead people to the destination of addiction. I want to cover this because it's important, and I see a lot of people taking this path in different areas of their life. There are a lot of different kinds of addictions in life. There are a lot of different kinds of addictions that are the destination of this path. There's drug and alcohol addictions. There's pornography addiction. There's eating addictions. There's shopping addictions. There's recreational addictions. There's gambling addictions. Exercising can become an addiction. Too much of anything is a bad thing. There's social media addictions and technology addictions and gaming addictions that a lot of our young people are dealing with. They get anxious and insecure when they don't have a screen in front of them or a game to play. Some of us, this is probably mine, if I had to pick from this list, working, workaholic. Some of us fall into that if we're not careful. See, all of these and many things like them are pathways for us to forget about our pain, our struggles, our hardships, our responsibilities. It's a way for us to disassociate from life. That's why people walk down these paths, because they want to disassociate from a reality that they're trying to forget.
You've been listening to One to Another, and we're glad you were here with us today. Did you know that the messages you're hearing are airing locally, but also across the nation? This is only made possible by our wonderful listeners, like you. One to Another Radio is listener-supported, and that means we rely on financial support to allow these teachings to be heard near and far. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this radio ministry and becoming part of the financial team of One to Another? For any first-time donations this month, we'd like to bless you with a gift of the month. That way, we can show our sincere appreciation for your heart to give to the ministry. Go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more. While you're there, you'll notice a wealth of resources that Gwen is going to discuss a little more.
At onetoanotherradio.org, there are all kinds of things that will feed your spiritual appetite. Just go to the Resources tab and you'll find several books that Pastor Pete has written. One or more of those might be just what you need to read as it relates to what you're going through. Also, on the website's main page, you can scroll down to the bottom to find out if there are any upcoming trips planned. Pastor Pete regularly takes groups to the Holy Land and other interesting places for biblical tours. If this interests you, take some time to think and pray about whether this is something that God would be leading you into. Once more, all of these opportunities and resources are detailed for you at onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil again to close the show.
Thanks, Gwen. The Holy Land can be such a fascinating journey to experience. The path you're walking may be leading you right to the place of being ready for this. If you have additional questions, feel free to call us at 830-769-3733. Once more, give us a call at 830-769-3733. Thanks so much for listening today to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic. Join us next time as Pastor Pete will continue teaching through this series, imparting wisdom and sharing God's truths, asking you to bring a heart that's overflowing with the value and appreciation of who God is as He sticks with us on this path. So don't miss the next edition. We can't wait to connect with you again as we learn what it means to follow God all the days of our lives. Thanks for listening to One to Another.